Well, Acts chapter 16. This is a wonderful book on what the apostles did. It's not the hopes of the apostles. It's not the dreams of the apostles. It's not, well, I hope we get around to it, of the apostles. It is the Acts of the Apostles. Acts chapter 16, and we'll begin reading in verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. And Paul got a little tired of it after a while, it seems. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. The keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. I love testimony meetings. Maybe the church at Philippi had one a couple of years after the story that we just read. Maybe this jailer stood up. He would tell his story with great emotion because of the providence of God. He would tell his story with gratitude because of the grace of God. Maybe it went something like this. "I'm a jailer. I'm employed by the Roman Empire. It's a pretty good job. I'm well paid. I work hard. There's always lots of business. But jail is a pretty depressing place. It has some pressure. If anyone escapes, it's my life for theirs. I would say that's some pressure. I don't know what brought Paul and Silas to town. They were not a part of any organized religion that I knew of. They were just street preachers. There was this little girl. She's not the same girl that she was then. She was strange. Some said that she was demon-possessed. She had insight into the future. Some businessmen owned her and used her. She was really strange back then. When Paul and Silas came to town, she followed them around and she cried out, "These men represent the only true God." Paul got a little tired of that and turned around and cast all the demons out of her. She became totally different. She became a believer in Jesus Christ. When the businessmen who owned her lost their profit, they were mad. They stirred up the community against Paul and Silas. They were arrested. They were stripped. They were beaten and brought to my jail. They were in bad shape after the beating. Something was sure different about them. So I took them into the inner prison and put them in stocks. It's cold, it's dark, it stinks, especially so in the inner prison. At midnight, they began to sing and pray to their God. I couldn't understand it. What did they have to sing about, and what God can help them in my secure prison? I remember it was midnight, symbolic of what time it was in my life. I remember an old Jewish rabbi said, "On the day before you die, repent. But you don't know when you are going to die." So the old rabbi said, "Repent now." Looking back, I really didn't know it was the midnight hour in my life. Then there was this earthquake. Folks, there is something about an earthquake that lets you know who's in charge. All the prisoners who I had treated bad were now all loose. If one of them escaped, it meant my life. So I decided just to go ahead and take my life. But Paul cried, "Don't do it. We're all here." I knew at that moment I needed what Paul and Silas had. I asked them, "What must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." So I did, and I was saved. I wanted my wife and kids to be saved, and they were all saved that night also. Paul said we needed to give a public testimony of salvation by being baptized, and we were happy to do it. That was 2 years ago, and what a difference Jesus makes in a family. He said, "That's my testimony," and he sits down. I look around this evening and wonder, what's your testimony? I've asked Larry and Patty if they would come up and give their testimony of salvation. I know parts of it. I don't know if I know the whole story, but I want them to give their testimony of salvation. If you two would come up and Larry, if you would give yours first, and then Patty, if you would just have a seat on the front row and wait for your husband to be finished, and then if you would come up.
Hard coming up those steps. But I don't think I've ever had such an opportunity to talk about my salvation. I'm not sure where to start on that, but back around well over 37 years ago, I was trying to live the American dream in the wrong way. And, you know, it came a point in my life when there was no other way but to ask the Lord for help. He provided a wonderful path for me. I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I came to a place in my life where I was led to a prayer that I give my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood Him. And I didn't know too much about God. I had been a member of a Methodist church, and I thought that I was living the way the Lord would want me to live. And I found out that was not at all true. So over the years, we moved from Ohio to Virginia, and my first wife became very ill, and I retired early, and I became a caregiver for quite a few many years. We bought a motorhome, and we saw a lot of the United States, and we didn't have a home church, but we went to Bible studies, and any time we went to a rally, there were a group of people that we got to know that were fellow Christians, and so we arrived here in Goodyear in 2003 at the Cotton Lane RV Park down the street, and there were some people that went to this church back then. Some of them have moved on, but we liked their Bible study, and we asked where they went to church, and we came to this church, and we fell in love with this church the first day we were here, and my first wife passed in 2014, and this church, a year and a half, she was on hospice at home, and if it wasn't for this church, I don't know what I would have done. I mean, we had visitations from a whole lot of people in this room, and people that I can't ever thank for the help that we received over that time, and. So that's, you know, so I kept coming after she died, and then I met Patty, and you know the story. I mean, it was, it's been 4.5 years, and we enjoy this church, and we love this church, and it has been a part of our life for a long time, and I'm I told the pastor today his sermon and Rick's songs, and the whole service just tore me up. I was crying over there, and tears of joy that I have the Lord in my life today, but tears that I'm going to be leaving this place that has been such a big part of my life.
Oh my gosh, I feel like a preacher. Well, when I was growing up, I went to an Evangelical United Brethren church. And the thing that what they taught was about hell, fire, and brimstone. And I accepted the Lord about, I was 11 or 12 years old, but it was out of fear. And for years, I had this unsettled feeling or desire to know how to be saved. And nobody ever told me the plan of salvation. So I kept, when I would drive to work of a morning, I would listen to Dr. Stanley. And he said one day that if you get to heaven by your good works, how do you know when you've done enough? And I didn't. And then one night I was coming home from work, and I listened to Bob George. And I don't know if anybody's ever heard of him, but he said something that changed my life. And it was so simple, but it was what I needed to hear. He said, when Jesus died to save us from our sins, he saved us from our past, present, and future sins. I'd never heard that before. So about that time, it's probably 35 years ago, I turned my life over to the Lord, and I was seeking, you know, to learn more about him. And then one Sunday, my brother rededicated his life. And on Tuesday, he died. He was quite young. But I realized then that I needed to get closer to the Lord and learn what I could and to follow him. And my life has had its ups and downs, like everybody's, but it's been a good life. God has blessed me beyond measure. And I love to talk to people about Jesus. And I went to Evangelism Explosion. I signed up for that one time, and I didn't even know what I was getting into. But it's the best thing that I ever did. So that taught me how to present the gospel, and I try to do that. Jesus is my life. And this church has taught me so much. Our pastor has taught me so much. And I love the people. I hate to leave, but it's something we must do. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, of course we will miss them. But at the same time, how very thankful we are for the past 17 years and having them here and ministering to us like they have, and then just coming and being a part of the body of Christ that is here. How very thankful we are for them. And Patty's mother was such a sweet lady. She died several years ago, but any time that she could, she came to this church, and it was just such a joy to have her. Let's stand. Father, what a joy to be in your house this evening. Thank you for saving our souls. Thank you for bringing our lives together. Thank you for sometimes it just seems like the smallest thing that somebody says, and it makes such a difference in our life. And Father, it's always a good thing when we tell other people that we love them. And so, Father, help us to tell others how much we love them and appreciate them, and help us not to take each other for granted. Father, thank you for this time together this evening. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was thinking about the invitation. Yeah.